Good evening. Please turn, if you would, please, back to the book of Jude. And while you're finding your places there, I do want to express my gratitude, toward all y'all. We do consider it a privilege to be among you, and that it's no small thing to come speak to a people. So I hold it a great responsibility. I hope y'all know that it's a great responsibility to declare the Word of God. But I do count it a privilege to be able to open up the Word of God before such a people who seem to just eat it up, seem to love it. I could say that y'all are crazy just like me. You know, I'm crazy just like you. However it works out there, I do want to say too that it's overwhelming to me to see, and it's encouraging to see the efforts that this church is doing in the aspect of evangelism. I think that's something that we all could improve on, evangelism. Specifically myself, I can improve on evangelism. But just like in the book of Acts, when one brother would see the other brother and they would find courage and they would thank the Lord for courage and they'd pray for more courage, wouldn't it be great if we all found courage together in the Lord to share the things of God? So y'all have made an impression on me. I know that for sure. As we've been looking through the book of Jude, we remember there were one thing that each person of the Godhead did in the work of salvation. God the Father did what? Who can remember what God the Father did according to Jude verse 1, what he did for the believer? What did he do? What word did Jude use? He sanctified us, didn't he? What did Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He preserves us, right? And what does the Spirit do? He calls us. Sanctified, preserved, and called. And because of that, because we're confident in the work of salvation is completely according to God, we can look at these verbs, these five verbs that the child of God is supposed to be doing with all confidence in what God has done, but see the responsibility that we have. There were five verbs that we're to be doing. We looked at build yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Today, we're going to be looking at keep. So if you look, please, at Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, comma, praying in the Holy Ghost, comma, keep yourselves in the love of God. Those commas are important. They connect all these things together. They really do. Specifically, we're looking at today, keeping ourselves in the love of God. These verbs, they are action words. That's what a verb is. These actions we're to be doing as the children of God, specifically the people of God in the church of the living God. These actions ought to bring out the evidence of the sanctifying power of God the Father in our lives, the evidence of the preserving power of Jesus Christ in our lives, and evidence of the calling that we have according to the Holy Spirit. If we look at the language of verse 20 and then part A, the building and the praying are predicate, or they're proceeding and the basis for the keeping, our next topic, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Briefly, we must know this, that one cannot keep themselves in the love of God if the love of God is not in them. That sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? You can't keep yourself in the love of God. You can't put yourself in the love of God if you're a sinner. This is already addressed, and we've covered this in the past few nights. This is addressed to the but beloved, but ye beloved. That's who we're talking to. It's addressed to us believers that are working through the Lord's church as we ought. It's the work of salvation. It's already taken place as we've covered. But keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, what is love? That's defined so many different ways by our society, isn't it? I mean, I define love one way. You might define it another way. Well, love. You know, those of us who have children, we might love one and love the other. And even our love is not the same across the board, is it? Our love is tainted with sin and emotion. It's tainted. It's sinful. Even the best of my love in the flesh is sinful. But this love is the love of God. There's the distinction. The love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It says benevolence or kindness or goodness. This is not a spiritualized metaphor. We ought to know that. That we're not talking about a spiritualized metaphor that we're to be keeping ourselves in the love of God. But this is an active command, an active instruction that we're given here this evening. So what is Jude saying? Is he recommending that the believer, after being sanctified, set apart, and made holy by God the Father, after being preserved by the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, and divinely called without opportunity of rejection by the Spirit, that the believer then could lose those things, that we have to maintain those things? Is that Jude's conclusion? Absolutely not. We're careful that is not his conclusion. Is he saying that we have been saved, but we have to keep ourselves saved? No. No, he's not saying that at all. Are we co-workers with Christ in the work of preservation? No. How come nobody's answering me? No, that's not what he's saying. Is the work of the Holy Spirit in calling that ineffectual that we have to maintain ourselves in our calling? No. Is the choosing power of God Almighty that weak and meaningless that we can undo His planning that was set forth from the foundation of the world, and that by necessity we have to keep ourselves in the love of God? No, 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 not at all. That's not what Jude is saying at all. By keep, he says we are to carefully attend, guard, and mindfully observe the love of God. We are to replicate or the love of God ought to come out of us. Getting ahead of ourselves, if this were natural to us, then we wouldn't have to be told to do it, would we? I wouldn't have to be told to keep myself in the love of God if it was so easy for me to keep myself in the love of God. How many times have you been told to breathe today? Keep yourself in the love of God. It's a verb. That means, believer, we are charged to actively and carefully attend, guard, and observe ourselves in the love of God. That change that has been manifest. According to the Trinity, we're to consciously pursue that kind of love toward one another. Not just selfish, but toward one another. And we're going to see this as it comes out. This also means by nature, again, we don't have tendency to do these things. There's obviously some sort of disagreement within the believer. Otherwise, Jude would not have instructed us to keep ourselves in the love of God. In my flesh, I have anger. In my flesh, I have bitterness. In my flesh, I have distress. In my flesh, I have all kinds of things that are contrary to love, don't I? I do. We're to actively and consciously love. It's hard. It's hard to talk about because I'm so ashamed of myself. That's what it says. There must be a foundation of salvation. Now, if people say, there's lost people everywhere that say they love, I love you, I love this, I love that. They have no idea what love is. Child of God, there ought to be not a more happier and loving person than the group of people in this building. And you ought to be comparable to other groups of people who share the same love as expressed by God Almighty. And think of the love that God had for you, that not only would He save you, but He'd put you in sound instruction in one of His churches. That's love. That's love. We're new creatures. We've read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. As a new creature, that means the old creature had a certain way about him, about us, that dead man we carry around. But this new creature, this new thing, has a new way about us. And part of that new way is the love of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, please. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and if you're in Christ, you've been sanctified, preserved, and called. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, part of that is the loving Spirit, keeping ourselves in the love of God. Part of that, and we've read it in the previous study, so we won't turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that we are ordained unto good works. And if the two commandments that we're given are love God and love your neighbor, the word in common is love, then those good works ought to be just flowing and abounding in love, shouldn't they? Shouldn't we just be loving, cheerful, loving people? We ought to love to love, right? That ought to be us. And this war in the flesh, make no mistake about it. Yes, the flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit, being a part of the Godhead, is a spirit of love and a spirit of truth. Then the flesh wars against love, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sets out to destroy love. Protect your love. Keep your love. Observe your love. Adore the love of God, and that love of God will come out of you. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is a very present struggle between flesh and spirit. I struggle with love. We're charged to keep ourselves in the love of God. He says yourselves. Speaking to specific people, this is a simple English lesson. The pronoun, this pronoun functions as a phrase referring to someone or something else otherwise mentioned. Right? Yourselves. The yourselves is a direct mention of those that are them that are sanctified, preserved, and called. And it's also a direct mention as ye beloved. But ye beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Why do I keep mentioning that? It might sound elementary. No one can keep themselves in the love of God unless they are in the love of God. No one can do that. It's impossible. If one has experienced any of these things, they will experience sanctification, preservation, and calling. They will experience all of these things by the last. And by the last, these things will all manifest themselves. Because this command is coming to those who have already had the work of salvation imparted unto them, the complete work of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, therefore, cannot be a command. It cannot be a command to lost people. It cannot be a charge unto salvation, can it? It must be a charge to save people. Must be. Keep, regard, observe yourself, mindful, taking care of yourselves in the love of God. So in the love of God, that's an interesting statement. That's an interesting phrase, and we could really mess it up if we don't see what's happening here and examine it based on what Jude has already said. You know, it came up a few days ago that certain people are buffet Christians. They take a piece of a verse here and a piece of a verse there, and they spit out what they don't want or leave it on the plate. Well, we have to deal with these things. And as we look at everything that Jude has said, then we must see what he's meaning here. This prepositional phrase, in the love of God, keeping themselves in the love of God, can mean one of two things. It can either mean that they keep themselves within the bounds of God's love, and thus keep themselves saved in God's love. Wrong. Or they could keep themselves within the mode or method of God's love, that having experienced the grace of God, would then keep or guard themselves in the characteristic love of God. That is, goodness and kindness toward others. It seems like what Jude is telling us to do. Love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God is demonstrated for us very plainly in 1 John. Please turn over there and we'll read a few verses out of 1 John. Beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Beloved. That word beloved is interesting. Esteemed, dear ones. Worthy ones of love in Christ, he says. Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, please. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That doesn't mean just any old kind of love. I know people who love heavy metal music. I know people who love certain football teams. That doesn't say just because you love something that you're of God. Just because you have some kind of love for something, that's not what this is talking about. We're talking about a specific kind of love, and that is godly love. This love is a love that is consistent with perfect love. John is going to tell us what love is. It's consistent with perfect love. The loving of one another, consistent with the new birth. The loving of one another that is consistent with such a love that can only be experienced between saved people. Of a plain truth, he contrasts in 1 John. He said, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Only a love that a child of God could experience is the type of love that we're talking about. Beloved, keep yourselves in the love of God. God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we, the beloved, sanctified, preserved, and called, might live through him. Again, we have to remember, we have to savor that word, sanctified. We're set apart from ungodliness, but that also has, we have to admit, we were ungodly. Don't, the more we admit we were ungodly, the more we can appreciate that God saved us from our ungodliness, right? Our irreverence toward God. What love. Oh, what love. That Jesus should die for me. Herein is love, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. Now, as we read this, think of John, the beloved John. Again, he never got over the fact that God loved him, that Jesus loved him. Oh, the disciple who Jesus loved. How can he love me? Herein is love. Not that I loved him, not that we loved God, not that we could love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation. If we're to keep ourselves in the love of God, that word propitiation tells us a lot, doesn't it? When God the Father sees me, I'm a sinner, I'm a dirtbag, I'm worthy of hell, of myself. When God the Father sees me, he sees the propitiation, who is Jesus Christ. So let's go back to the Old Testament and typology just for a second. You had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then you had the inner court, and then you had the tabernacle itself, and the priest, you could go in, and there's different furniture in there, and then the inside, as far as you could go, you had that old Ark of the Covenant. And inside, you had a broken law. I was a lawbreaker to the bone. Broken law. You had the budding rod. Every tribe in Israel, they wanted their man to rule over them. I wanted to rule myself. Budding rod. I am the budding rod. I am that broken law. And you had that pot of manna. The griping and complaining and the sniveling that folks have toward their God. That's me. I'm discontent in every way. But then you had on top of that Ark of the Covenant, that was wood that pictured the humanity of Christ, overlaid with gold that pictured the deity of Christ. And over top of that you had what? You had the propitiation. You had the mercy seat. And so when the glory came down from heaven, it didn't see the vileness of what was inside. When God the Father sees me, he doesn't see my vileness. He sees the propitiation, the mercy seat. He sees his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. That's love. That's love. If we're to keep ourselves in the love of God, you can do me no wrong, because all I see when I see you is Jesus Christ. Think about that for a second. If God the Father can see you as Jesus Christ, what right do I have to hold some kind of grudge and see the sinfulness and the hatefulness? Because I'm sinful and hateful. John says, here in his love, not that we loved him, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if he could love me, we ought also to love one another. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the... Anytime you want to get mad, you want to get upset, if I've offended you anyway, I'm sorry. Anytime you want to get upset, keep yourself in the love of God. Remember what God Almighty does second by second, how he sees you second by second. You know, my wife and I were, I don't know if you know this or not, we're just regular people. And we fuss at each other sometimes, as married couples often do. But have you ever considered... I know I have. When you fuss at your spouse, or maybe a child who's a child of God, or your parent who's a child of God, when you're getting upset with one of God's children. You ever considered that? It should shut my mouth a lot, but it really doesn't. I need to keep myself in the love of God. I haven't figured this out yet. We're getting through this together, it seems like. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keeping ourselves. A propitiation. Verses 12 through 21, there's some pretty plain language we can read through here. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. We talked about the Spirit, and the Spirit has evidence, doesn't it? Aren't there fruit of the Spirit? There's fruit of the Spirit. So if the Spirit's in us, there will be fruit. There will be fruit. Pause for a second. We planted some fruit trees around our house and we were watching some of these trees, and some of them, they came. It seemed like they already had fruit on them when we bought them. But there was one tree that had grown to a reasonable height, but it had no leaves, when every other leaf was on it. And my family and I, we were watching that tree saying, hey, look, if it's alive, it'll have fruit. If it's not alive, it won't have fruit. But we're not going to be quick just to cut it down. You know, we're going to observe this thing for a while. Well, that thing's still struggling, but wouldn't you know, there's a few leaves on it. Some of us have more fruit than others. All y'all have more fruit than me, probably, in some ways, and I don't know. But that's just how it is. We can't compare ourselves to our own standards. If you're a believer, you're covered in the blood of Christ. You're not judged by my standard. God Almighty loves you and has paid for your sins according to the work of Christ. If you're a believer, the standard has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Love one another. You know, sometimes Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist, Landmark Baptist people, sometimes we lack compassion. I lack compassion and love because somebody might not be necessarily where I am. Well, we shouldn't compromise at all. But some people have little fruit. Some people have much fruit. Some people have been given some talents, other many talents. We ought to have love with one another. And verse 14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, what is John saying there? Let's clarify that. Did he save every single person? Did he sanctify, preserve, and call every person? No. John, in 1 John, he was writing to Jews. So in chapter 1, going into chapter 2, when he says, not for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, he's talking specifically to Jews. He said that the Lord gave us the oracles in the beginning in chapter 2. And so when he says the world, cosmos, he's clarifying Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks, not everyone without exception. So just a quick clarification there. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. He that keeps himself in the love of God and God in him. Love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Oftentimes the tormentors come into my life because my love is not exercised. I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. I'm still a child of God. I'm still sanctified, preserved, and called, but love is not dominating my life. And there are griefs associated. Maybe you've experienced that yourself. Maybe you know someone else who has. But that's a real thing, child of God. Don't be robbed of your joy because you're not exercising and keeping yourself in the love of God. Don't be robbed of that. There are many trials that we can go to just embracing and loving and broadcasting the love of God in our lives. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, he said. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. See, that sounds almost contradictory if you don't know what he's saying. No, it doesn't. He loved us. That's love. That's love that he manifests toward us in Christ. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, uh-oh. Well, he doesn't give shades of gray there, does he? Are there any shades? Love and hate is what it looks like. If you're not a loving person, you're a hateful person. If I'm not a loving person, I'm exhibiting hate. Love or hate. What kind of people are we? Do we keep ourselves in hate? I know people who consciously keep themselves in hate, and they justify it. The wrath of God, or the wrath of man, worketh not the righteousness of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For that man loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Wow. These evidences, keeping ourselves in the love of God, if it's not there, well, John's saying, I might not be a saved person. And he didn't use the word might. I inserted the word might. He said, you're not saved. If you're not a loving person, you're not saved, is what John said. What an examination. If you can't love those that you see, how can you love God who you cannot see? I cannot make excuses for myself. John doesn't. Jude didn't. If you're not a loving person, but call yourself a Christian, examine yourselves. We all could grow in love. He's encouraging us to grow in love. Thank God that He encourages us to grow in love. Thank God He didn't just come and just wipe us out for not being loving like we ought to be. Thank God He has encouragements in the Bible. Chapter 5 in 1 John, he said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, that's legalistic. That's what it says. Love. Can you imagine our spirits if we say, "That's legalistic. I don't have to love anybody. I can hedge around that." I've done that before. God hates people. I'm allowed to hate people too. You ever thought that? Maybe not out loud, but sometimes we do think those things. Friends and beloved, we're to actively keep ourselves in the love of God. "Oh, we do that. I do that already. This must be for so-and-so or so-and-so. I don't need this today. I need it." If I was the only one in this room, I would need this message. I don't keep myself in the love of God as I ought. I'm a guest here. I don't know. So I don't know any kind of things going on behind walls. Are there divisions in this church? I don't know. Are there factions? Are there strifes? Is there bitterness? Is there anger? Is there discontent? I don't know. Are there people in this group or that group that sometimes that you say hello to or you try to stay away from or I don't know. I don't know any of that. Are there people for one reason or another you may forgive but you won't forget? I don't know. Again, if the Father can forgive me and all my sinfulness because of Christ, how can I not forgive my brother who has been forgiven because of Christ? And think about this too. The past couple of days we've been thinking about building and praying. If we try to keep ourselves in the love of God and not building and exercising fruit of the Spirit or praying about it according to the will of God, with the admiration of the Father, testimony of Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit, being a loving person might be difficult. But if we're doing the first two, as Jude, look at the grammar. Look at the grammar he uses. He encourages us. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith," while you're doing that, praying in the Holy Ghost, while you're doing those two things, keep yourselves in the love of God. While you're doing those other two things, keep yourselves and the love of God. It would be very difficult for me to be hateful toward a brother and be praying for meekness at the same time, wouldn't it? Or gentleness. Long-suffering. Wouldn't that be difficult? Wouldn't it be difficult for me to pray to the Father, "Forgive me of my transgressions if I forgive others"? When I don't forgive others, what a dangerous prayer. Right? Would I want the Father to treat me like I treat somebody else? Certainly not. I can tell you, I would not want that. I'm thankful that He truly has love according to the work of Christ. But how? How do we love? We're to do what the Father does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Please look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. As we turn there. "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us." He became our sin. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Again, consider that perspective of the Ark of the Covenant. When the glory of God examines me, the examination stops at Christ, doesn't it? Isn't that where the examination stops? Now, we're human beings, and there are times that I need to apologize, you need to apologize, we need to work things out. But as we examine one another, as we see each other, we are to see our brothers and sisters in Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ, as those that the Father sees in the righteousness of God in Christ. That would clear a lot up, I think. I think that would clear a lot up. Otherwise, we're essentially taking off the mercy seat. And we're looking in at fault, aren't we? Is that what we're told to do? No, we're told to keep ourselves in the love of God. The Father doesn't see old brother Joey when he looks at me. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when a young couple, when they're truly in love, they fault one another. They do wrong things. But isn't there an old saying that love is blind? You know, love sees no wrong. We got to keep ourselves in the love of God. When we're dealing with each other, we got to see one another as the children of God. It's so important, especially you young people, when you speak of so-and-so, don't just say Andy or Proctor, say brother. That word brother or sister ought to remind us of our relationship under the covenant of grace according to the Word of God. It's an exaltation of the Holy Trinity, of the work of God in our lives. But also calling one brother, it reminds us of the relationship that we say, our Father which art in heaven, that we are children, joint heirs with Christ. Yeah. It's hard to be mad at somebody when you say, my brother in Christ did such and such, right? It's difficult. We're sinners, but it's difficult to maintain anger. We ought to do the same as God sees us. Well, what if I'm dealing with the most vile, most unimportant, most rank of God's children, like old brother Joey? He's really bad. Please turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I'm trying to knock all the legs off your stool here, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 25. Seems like y'all are taking it well. Verse 40. This is the end of a parable here. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Ruh-roh. Uh-oh. How we treat one another, as John said, and now we've read in Matthew, is a good evidence of how we perceive our relationship with God Almighty, isn't it? That is indicting to me. That's an indictment to me. I'm saying these things to myself right now. That's an indictment. Would I dare say some of the things that I have said to Jesus Christ Himself? No. But when I behave certain ways to the children of God, that's exactly what I'm doing. And Jesus Himself just told us that. Well, what if I'm dealing with a lost person? Don't I have the right to say and do as I please because I'm under the blood and they're not? If you can reconcile a hateful attitude toward the lost while carrying around grace and love in your heart, I feel sorry for you if you can reconcile that. And I can feel sorry for you because I've done it and I know the pain that it's caused within my own self. Please, keep yourselves in the love of God. In dealing with the lost, we are to be compassionate and loving while declaring that they're sinners in need of salvation. Drop the hatefulness. Colossians, please, if you would. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That'd be a message to itself. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So while you're doing that, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, so what's left? If we say word and we say deed, what's left? It covers it all, basically. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, having admonishing one another and being rich in wisdom and dwelling in the Word of God, while doing all that, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You go talk to a lost person, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You go settle a strife, You go to have a confrontation with somebody. Somebody's mowing on the other side of the fence and you don't like it. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You settle that problem, you do it in thankfulness, and you do it as if you're talking to the Lord Himself. The Lord will handle that other person. That's not your concern. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Drop the hatefulness. I'm talking to myself. Drop the hatefulness, brothers and sisters, and drop the hatefulness with the lost. I hope that there's not one person in this auditorium that this applies to. I hope there's a spirit of unity here. And keeping yourselves in love would be the easiest thing because you're so very close. But if we can just tweak a couple things in our lives in keeping ourselves in the love of God, that would be God honoring and God glorifying as His people. It really would be. One more scripture here. Please turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. As you're speaking with someone, as you're praying and as you're building and you're going to go talk with someone, if that's the case, do it while it's today. But Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, please. That while we were yet sinners, that's the context of this verse, 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What a loving thing to do. But God, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us. Keep yourself in the love of God. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were offensive to Him in the flesh, sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Keep yourself in the love of God. Child of God, it ought to be easy for us to love one another. It ought to be an easy thing to do. If Christ would die for sinners, not being a sinner, shouldn't we have compassion and love toward other sinners? Having tasted of the love of God, we ought to delight in love and take pleasure in loving one another. If it's difficult, speaking in real terms, some people may be more difficult to love than others. True or false? In the flesh, that's definitely true. It just is. But loving those people, wouldn't that just be a glorifying of the Lord? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it just show the glory of the Lord that even the unlovable are lovable, being the children of God? I'm most unlovable and God loves me. We ought to love one another. We ought to be known by our love. There should not be a more loving group of people in the whole world than those that are assembled and members and saved by the grace of God. Sinner, you cannot keep yourself in the love of God. Hear me, please. You cannot keep yourself in the love of God. You have not experienced the love of God, and you really haven't experienced, I don't care if you've been married 100 years, you have not experienced love by its truest definition if you have not experienced the love of God. That's what John said. Herein is love, that Christ is our propitiation. He's our mercy seat. If Christ is not your mercy seat, you can't understand love. And you don't or can't love God so that He'll love you. You don't love God so that He'll love you. That's not how it works at all. Sinner, beg and plead that the Lord would be pleased to show His love upon you. Beg and plead. Your begging and your pleading won't change the mind of God at all. But seeing yourself as a sinner will drive you to a point of desperation. And what do people do when they're desperate? They beg. They plead. My God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Christ died for sinners. What a great thought that Christ died for sinners. The Father chose to save sinners for love. Christ died for sinners because of love. The Spirit of truth quickens sinners because of love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Sanctified, preserved, and called. Build in the Spirit of Christ. Build upon Christ in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost and keep yourselves in the love of God. Brother Andy.
Isn't it a blessing to love and to be loved? We all need it. Sometimes we act like we don't need anything or anyone, and we're tough, and we can take on the world, but we can't. We're nothing. We're weak. We're worse than weak in and of ourselves. And to know the love of God is the greatest blessing that you can ever have. And if you're lost, I pray that the love of Christ will be shed abroad in your hearts. It'll change your life. It will change your life. When you see yourself as a sinner, as our brother said, and then see that He loved you so much that He laid down His life and gave Himself for you, that's just overwhelming. And it so transforms your life. You want to live your life for that God who would love you so much. Not just for a moment. Not just when things are looking good. But even when you fail, even though you're in your sins, He loves you with an eternal love. This world can't even come close to that love. And I thought about the passage there in 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest of these is charity or love. And love never faileth. In other words, love never loses. You will always be a winner when you are filled with the love of God, and then you express that love to those that you come in contact with. I thought about that, keeping yourself in love of God as believers. I thought about having little guards and little soldiers around, you know, to guard or keep that love of God in thriving, if you will, in our life. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be very loving. You know, thinking about keep your tongue from evil. And there's just numerous of scriptures that we could use. Like we started out, Brother brought out the character of God and His wonderful works. Meditating on those things will keep ourselves in the love of God. So may God help us to be a loving people. Pray about it. And that we may be more and more loving as we see the day approaching. Brother Pack, if you would close our meeting tonight in a word of prayer.
Lord, You would show us these things in reality and cause us to show them in reality in our lives to others. Lord, we realize that we failed You in this way as in many other ways. And we would pray that we might be more conscious of our lives before others and of our relationship with others in Your church, in our homes, and with those that we come in contact with through business dealings, whatever the case may be, and what.
Mm-hmm.
We thank You, Father, for the Grace Baptist Church. Thank You for Brother Andy, our pastor. And we appreciated, in particular, what was brought out tonight about calling each other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
Had that brought to us many times, and we've tried to do that through the years. It seems so cold just to call someone by a first name. I know that even in our youth, we were corrected by our parents for doing this, and we feel that we should certainly address each other as brother and sister in Christ.
Yes.
I pray that You would bless us tomorrow as we gather together. You allow that. pray that you would get to our brother Good Liberty again and services tomorrow.
Yes.
Call to his mind the things that he has studied. Open our hearts to receive them and to receive them with thanksgiving. And trust you to minister to the missionaries we have a part in supporting and many others that we have known through the years that you'd advocate for their needs.
Yeah.
Dismiss us now with your love upon us and our love one towards the other in our hearts. And we ask it in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.